This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Rolling into the weekend. It's not great nationally in terms of college football games this weekend. This is a weekend where Alabama's playing Mercer. Auburn's playing UL Monroe, I believe, this week. One of those deals. But here locally, there's plenty that we are going to get into and plenty to get excited about around the Arizona at Oregon game and the Oregon State Arizona State game, too. So we'll get into both of those. Cardinals and their game at Houston. And today's Paul Goldschmidt Day, by the way. As the show progresses, I will get into that. We will go to Vegas here in about 20 minutes. Jimmy Vaccaro will join us from South Point Resort and Casino. We'll get into the lines, all the action this weekend as you guys get ready for the weekend, the games you should be looking at from one of the wisest of the wise guys. As we like to say, Jimmy Vaccaro at the South Point Resort and Casino. Goody at the Movies will be with us today. Bill is going to run through a whole bunch of things. And I've got some stuff I want to bounce off of him as well that has nothing at all to do with movies, but a little bit to do with UCLA basketball and Donald Trump and the reaction worldwide to that story. It never ceases to amaze me when I sit here behind a microphone, stuff that just shows up. Like, can't script this. It's really cool. I can try to figure out why everybody and their brother across the fruited plain is wanting to be worried about three basketball players that shoplifted at three different stores. And our president has to get involved in this stuff, so it's funny. We will get things started here with what's going on in sports, brought to you by Sagicor Life, Sagicor Now. Appreciate the good people at Sagicor. Protect what matters most. You need life insurance. Yes, you do. You need the insurance for your family. Sagicor Now. Log on and get involved today. That's at Sagicor. Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ. We are self-funded, so people like Sagicor, please support them as they support us for 6 years. Otherwise, we are not here for all the people that you see during this show. All right, there's something really interesting, a bunch of interesting stuff that just showed up here about 10 minutes ago, and that is both Arizona and Arizona State release their 2018 football schedules today. And as passionate as the fan base is around the Sun Devils and as passionate as the fan base is around the Wildcats, while no, they're not Ohio State passionate, no, they're not Alabama passionate, no, they're not Texas A&M passionate, I'm not going to go here for the next 45 minutes passionate, but there are those of you that are into what's going on the college football scene in this great state, and in particular with the two programs. And I'm actually very pleased with what I am seeing out of both schools. The Sun Devils next year will open up against UT San Antonio. I'm fine with that. They will play Michigan State here in game number two. I'm more than fine with that. I want to see schools like Michigan State roll through here. I think it is great that ASU has upgraded their football schedule through the years. It's gotten better and better. We've seen Georgia come through. We've seen Notre Dame come through. Now we're seeing Michigan State come through. That's what I want to see. They go to San Diego State, a team that beat them here this year in humiliating fashion. They then go to Washington to open Pac-12 play. That's not going to be easy. No joke. No kidding. Tell me something I don't know, Brad. But look, two of their first four games are going to be against teams that are ranked, are going to be ranked, as we go into the season. Michigan State and Washington, that's really, really tough to get started with. They then have Oregon State at home. They then go to Colorado. They then have a bye week, so their bye is strategically placed. They then have a Stanford Thursday night game. So they'll have one game in a span of, one game in a span of, 21 days up thereabouts. They'll play on a Thursday night, and then they're not playing until the following week at USC. So it gives them plenty of time to get ready for USC. They have Utah and UCLA here in back-to-back weeks. They finish at Oregon. That's not going to be easy. And then they finish the entire season at U of A. So top to bottom, this looks like, as we're sitting here today, at least, I'd say, 3 to 4 teams that will be ranked preseason in the top 25. Michigan State, Washington, Stanford, USC. I don't know about Oregon. It depends on how U of A finishes out. They're going to have a lot of buzz around them because they'll have a Heisman Trophy candidate in Khalil Tate next year. Meantime, U of A opens up with BYU. Like that a lot. They go to Houston. I'm fine with that. They have Southern Utah. There's your weakling. At Oregon State, USC at home, Cal. So ASU does not get Cal, and they don't get Washington State. They go to Utah. They go to UCLA. They have Oregon for homecoming. They have Colorado. They play bye and then at Washington. So when I say bye, I say that in all at Washington State and then the ASU game. So their bye is late in the year on November 10th. So Justin Toscano is in for Eric. Justin comes in on Thursdays because Eric is just always needing days off. He's just got to be the world traveler. No, I'm just kidding. Eric's working on some stuff. So Justin is here. And Justin, when he is not here, you work for, I don't want to misidentify. You guys. Are you ever going to get that right, by the way? You guys. Yeah, I work for you guys. And then you work for Devil's Digest. And at Devil's Digest, you do what?
Just cover football, basketball, and then baseball on a daily basis.
Okay, we're off the air. He's on the air. Oh, Justin's not on the air. Okay. So you guys see this show live, and this is where we make an edit. Okay, this is what we do. We'll go back to Justin in a little bit. Outside of college football, so the Suns tonight, they take on Houston, and the Rockets roll in. They'll have James Harden. James Harden comes in. Mike D'Antoni comes in. The Suns, guys, I don't know how to put this to you in a way that is not going to sound very condescending, but it's just something I'm used to, okay? I don't like making fun of what's going on here in Phoenix, and I'm not one of those guys often to say, look, I told you so, but this is one of those, I think, brings the exclamation point in. We said on this show a couple of years ago that when Brian Colangelo and Jerry Colangelo got involved with the Philadelphia 76ers, that they would become relevant in a playoff team faster than the Suns would. We said that back in 2015. And so last night I'm watching the Suns, or I'm watching the 76ers play the Lakers. And I was actually gripped to that. For whatever reason, the earlier start to the NBA this year for me and college basketball now rolling on in, I am finding myself wanting to watch more NBA, and I didn't think that I would. It doesn't mean the quality of the NBA across the board is great, because there's some games I'll watch for 30 seconds and say, wow, this is really low-grade dog food. I'm not watching this. But last night, watching the 76ers and watching Joel Embiid just put on an absolute show and an absolute destruction of the Lakers, it was something that that made me think, as I'm watching it, wow, they are so far ahead of the Suns. It's not like they just now passed them. They have Ben Simmons. They've got Joel Embiid. They've got a roster. They've got a squad. And here the Suns are just plodding and falling into the mud and not knowing how to get out of it. And now the situation with their arena, it just emphasizes even more how good we had it at one time with an owner and a front office that understood the value of building and not sitting, making pivots, trading players away and adding the right players, taking some risks, going through the hard times, getting really bad and then becoming really good. You have to do that. Remember, the Celtics got really bad, and now I'd say the Celtics in a short period of time have a long run in front of them. The 76ers have been bad for a long time. Now they have a run in front of them. Those of you that are diehard Suns fans, you've died hard. And when you give me the timeline as, well, we've already bottomed out, we're coming back up, and it's not happening, if you're to sit there and look at it, it's not happening. It's just another collection of guys out on the floor. They roll a ball out, and they're going to win 15 to 20 games. They're going to miss the playoffs. And we're going to say, wow, these young players have gotten better and better and better. Look at Philadelphia. That is the blueprint. And actually look at the front office and look at the owner and say, okay, or the advisor. The last name is the same. And you'll see that there's a reason why Philadelphia is getting turned around. It's good stuff, really good stuff. And while that's going on, and we'll take a break, while that's going on, you have over on the NFL side the Jerry Jones story that the NFL is discussing removing him from the league, which is just another story for you to grab onto for those of you that hate on the NFL now, and there's more and more of you. People think I'm hating on the NFL. No, I've sat here for the last 3 years and said, these guys are fat cats that think they've got it all figured out. Mark Cuban was right. Mark Cuban was right about what he said. And I'll, fat pigs get slaughtered. And what's happening right now is the front end of that. Unless some things change, the arrogance of that league has turned off a lot of people. All right, Jimmy Vaccaro is next from Vegas. We'll get into the college games and a little bit of the NFL, too, because there's some interesting NFL games, Vikings, Rams in particular. That's with Jimmy Vaccaro. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now it's time to go to Vegas. And if you're going to go to Vegas, you're going to go to the South Point. And when you go to the South Point Resort and Casino, you're going to walk in there, you're going to go into the sports book, and you're going to look for Jimmy Vaccaro, as I did last March. And Jimmy is pretty darn easy to spot. Jimmy is someone that everybody's talking to, and Jimmy's always on the move. So when you grab him, you just tell him, hey, Sussmat said to say hello. And then we'll get into all the games. But don't be obnoxious to Jimmy, okay? Because I can tell in his Twitter feed he gets agitated, right, Jimmy? You get a little irritated with people on occasion. You know, well, you want your food. I get it.
Well, you're right, my friend. You know, it's a hard job, but someone has to do it. And somehow Michael Gaughan picked me out 42 years ago, so I got to keep up my image. But let me tell you one thing, my friend. It was this is no. Just coming out of the top of my head, there were two people from your area who stopped in and just were very nice. Well, they actually wanted to see Brent, but they took me because Brent was off on a Tuesday. But it's a lot of fun and a lot of people are coming in here. And the next one comes in from Arizona. Tell them to come up to me. They get a free buffet on me.
Whoa, free buffet on Jimmy. There you go. There's the reason. All right. I like that. I'll show up.
All right, kid. You're always welcome.
Here we go. Let's go to the NFL first. So tonight, it's a pretty good game. 6-3 Titans, 7-2 Steelers. What's the view in Vegas?
The view in Vegas, the smart guys all took Tennessee Titans early in the week at the 7.5 and the 7. Then since that particular point in time, we're getting some Steeler money, which is fairly obvious being a marquee team. There'll be a lot of parlays and money lines and teasers to the Steelers. But the smart guy said that 7 is a little bit too much in this spot here on a Thursday night.
Rams-Vikings, really good matchup.
You're telling me, first of all, the college is a drop-off this week as far as marquee value, but yep. The pros got some great games. You're exactly right here. The Rams, they are one of the new favorite teams. We opened at 2.5. We're down to 1.5. Money on the Rams here, but the Vikings, you know, they've been playing awful good also. A very good game. Total's a little bit high there. I think it'd be a little bit less scoring, even though the Rams have, blown people out the last few weeks. Interesting game, but early money on the Rams.
What's the story, Jimmy, with the Rams in Vegas having the NFL back in L.A.? Are you seeing an increase of people around L.A. Rams and Chargers?
Yes, well, the Rams are really the ones that are drawing attention. First of all, when you're, in a sense, a hometown guy and your team is winning and you're cashing tickets and you're making money rooting for them, it's a lot easier to climb up the ladder real quick. And, yes, we got carried out the last 2 weeks with the Rams in the over, but deservedly so. They're playing great. But, yes, to answer your question, the Chargers, okay. The 49ers are, you know, it's been a bet against team. So what can I tell you? Yes, the marquee value is definitely with the Rams, and it shows at the counter.
Philadelphia 8-1 rolling against the Cowboys.
Wow. First, we put the game up, Eagles 3.5. We took $28,000 from a gentleman that we took the Cowboys plus to 3.5. We went down to 3 immediately, but from that particular point in time, it's back and forth. I don't think it's the old Cowboys because the LA kid looks like he's not going to play, and there won't be an avalanche of Cowboy betting like there usually is with this kid in the backfield, but I can tell you we'll be rooting for the Cowboys, you know, come Sunday night.
One other NFL game, and that is Jimmy, New Orleans has come out of nowhere this year. They made a bunch of changes, and they're sitting there at 7-2, and the Redskins have been up and down, hard team to figure out. New Orleans Redskins.
Obviously, the Saints are the team that a lot of money's come in the last 3 weeks. on them to win the Super Bowl. We were way high on it, but naturally after the 0-2 start, we're what, 6 or 7 in a row now, plenty of money on them. So I can tell you the Saints are a root against team for us. The Redskins, what can I tell you? They show up 1 week, they don't show up, but we'll be rooting for the Redskins this week. I can guarantee you that, my friend.
Jimmy Vaccaro with us from the South Point Resort and Casino on the college end, and I'll let you go. Arizona State trying to become bowl eligible. They're 5-5. They've been up and down. Hard team to figure. Boy, they play at Oregon State, a team that's only won one game, but their interim coach, they're fighting for him. Oregon State at home, Jimmy, always plays teams tough. Are we looking at this one as an upset?
Well, I am personally for as an upset because the Arizona State has come out of the woodwork, as you said, the last 3 or 4 weeks. Oregon State does play tough at home, but Arizona State drawing a lot of attention. The game is 7. We perked at 7.5, went back to 7. We will need Oregon State for what I would consider a fairly decent decision, my friend.
Arizona at Oregon, our final game.
Well, Arizona and Oregon, obviously with the quarterback situation with Oregon, we haven't posted a lineup on the yet. We will as soon as we find out the status there.
Yeah, Herbert, they've not announced as of yet. I'll let you go off that, Jimmy. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Always good to catch up, Jimmy Vaccaro in Vegas. There you go. You also have UCLA at USC and Cal at Stanford. But Jimmy's right. Nationally this week, it's just kind of blah. Kind of not much there. You know, a little bit further on the ASU game, this is a trap game. Hey, Jared, can I go back to Justin? Is he good? Okay. This is a trap game, and you've covered ASU all season long.
Yeah,
right?
For us and then Devil's Digest. Yeah.
Yeah. You could say Sports 360 AZ. It's okay.
Okay. Well,
yeah. That's fine. But for us, you're part of the team. We'll hug and embrace you at the Christmas party when we have to pass out Twinkies. So in all seriousness, you look at ASU, I saw what you wrote about the UCLA game, and it's inexplicable, really, to figure out this team week to week. Or is it?
It's inexplicable in the sense that 1 week we're all writing about the potential of going, you know, running the table by beating USC and maybe, you know, ending up in the Pac-12 title game. And the next week, the coaching change thing is back on the table. And the UCLA one was inexplicable because there's something missing if, you know, you lead in every statistical category and you don't end up winning the game. It's indicative of, you know, that's obviously why you played the games. But I think coaching there in key spots was at fault. And, you know, a lot of people wrote about
okay,
that.
Tell me about that. Stretch yourself here. When you say, because you're the one that saw it, you're the one that wrote it, don't hold back. What was missing from your view on coaching?
Well, if you look at people wanted ASU to run the ball more in the first half after those two drives. And they were one of those touchdown drives. The one that ended in the DeMario Richard touchdown run in the first quarter was 10 plays, all running plays, 75 yards, ending a touchdown. All fine and dandy. But then you get to the second half and you get in the red zone. And then a couple of those play calls, they started with negative plays in the red zone, didn't shake anything up, and then failed to score points. When you goes 75 yards down the field and then 72 yards down the field in consecutive drives in the second half on the road while UCLA is scoring and you only get 6 points out of that, to me that was the backbreaker. To me, you can't trade 14 for, you know, 6 for 14 on the other end. And I think a lot of that is, you know, of course they're going to expect you to run the ball. And ASU had negative plays on first and second down.
Yeah.
And then once you get into third down, and I think some of that is like, I don't know why they didn't change it. And they were getting into a lot of bad third down situations.
Third and long. No,
were bailed out by UCLA's defense. And I think ASU tried to go a bit too vanilla. There have been times where I've praised Billy Napier, offensive coordinator, for what
he's
done. You've
written nice things about him. You have written nice things about him. But here's my thing, Justin. Let me jump in on this. So
yeah.
I had someone, a 30-plus year, I believe, is the length of this season ticket holder with his dad. He said, we could lose to Oregon State this week and it's fine. We cannot lose to Arizona. If we lose to Arizona, Todd Graham needs to be fired. And that mentality, I believe, is pervasive. So this is a trap game from the standpoint of, you cannot tell me that team is not looking ahead to Arizona while they've got to get on a plane and go to Corvallis, which is Those of you that are from Corvallis, just accept this, okay? It's a high school town. It's nice to have Dutch Bros served in the press box. It's a high school town with a university in the middle of it. It is like going to Eloy for a football game. It is like going to Sholo for a football game in a college environment. No offense to my friends in Sholo or Eloy, but it's really hard. And whenever teams go up there, Stanford escaped narrowly a few weeks ago. And I just feel like at 5-5, for people to say all is well on one hand, but on the other hand, you can't ignore all the positive things that Todd has done. The next 8 days, because the game's a week from Friday.
Yep.
The next eight, Saturday. Week from Saturday. The next 9 days are going to be as angst-filled a 9 days as we've had, in particular if they lose to Oregon State. And on the surface, it's, wow, there's no way they should lose Oregon State. It's a one-win team. No, it's their final game for their coach who they're trying to play for at home. They still have their Civil War game. But, you know, I look at this and feel as though Todd did himself no favors the other night. And anybody who says he's 100% safe, I don't believe is truly plugged in or they're on the payroll at the university. They're just trying to cover their backsides.
Yeah, in a sense, that trap game thing, I was talking to ASU wide receiver Ryan Newsom earlier in the week about that notion, because that really interests me, the mental side of, because a lot of people forget about that these you know, players are college kids, and couple that with the fact that they're human beings. And so having two shots to secure a bowl game, one of them being against U of A and then one of them against a lowly team. That's like two spectrums. But the pressure, He said the pressure is naturally, like, kind of just admitted that the pressure is naturally built in, especially when you go to, you know, Corvallis, a lowly 1-9 team that's winless in conference. I mean, if people forget that U of A was winless in conference last year and then put
I don't
up five.
Care about last year.
But
I don't
I
care.
Think it's worth noting that last year, this team had six opportunities to secure a bowl game after going 5-1. And I know injuries happened, and you know, there were some tough road games in there, yada yada yada. But they had six opportunities last year. You can't tell me that they're not going to Corvallis with at least a tiny bit of pressure, saying,
a lot more than a tiny bit of pressure.
We only have two games to get this done.
I'll let you go. We're out of time in this segment. On the other side, what should UCLA basketball do with their basketball players that just came back from China that were in the middle of the news? We'll get into that next. Right, there's a couple of interesting stories in basketball. One involves Steph Curry, and I'll get to that in a minute. The other involves what is happening at UCLA. First of all, last night, Arkansas Little Rock and Russ Pennell, our buddy from back in the days at all three schools in our state, at Arizona State, at Arizona, and at GCU, coached a heck of a game last night. His team took UCLA at Pauley Pavilion into overtime before losing. So congratulations to Russ, and that was terrific. The other side of this story is I'm sure, as all of you have seen, because it's even made, this story has, whenever it crosses over into mainstream, it gets talked about, discussed on the cable news channels like CNN and whatever, and the Today Show and all that. So three UCLA basketball players, including one of the ball kids, and I don't mean basketball kids, one of the ball kids, ends up getting arrested for shoplifting. Three different stores in China. And so this happens, and they're over there, and Donald Trump gets involved. Trump gets involved, gets them out, according to Donald Trump. And puts on Twitter, hopefully these kids will want to thank the president for helping them out, and so on and so forth. And there's a whole another political side to that story. But the question now is, what is UCLA going to do with these three players after they were arrested for shoplifting and they caused what I would say a minor international incident? This is not major. It's a minor, but nonetheless, it's an international incident. I don't care how many cameras showed up at LAX at Terminal 4 to show them getting off the plane. Just because there's more cameras there doesn't mean there aren't bigger stories that need to be covered. It's low-hanging fruit. Three basketball players, one of them's a ball kid. They get arrested. Of course they did. So the reality show will show up eventually. What will Dan Guerrero, the athletic director at UCLA, what will the president of the university do? What will Steve Alford, the head basketball coach, do? What should they do? Typically, in these cases, when players get arrested for shoplifting, they are suspended for a certain amount of games, and then they are brought back. I cannot recall a player that was arrested for shoplifting, or three of them all together, that caused an incident that had to get the president of the United States involved to a certain degree. Is there embarrassment, or is there now attention? We could sit here on the surface and say, what an embarrassing situation, or there's a side culture to this that, oh, no, that's really cool. The president had to bail them out. I'm going to go watch them play. They are now celebrities. They are now big time. This is what drives clicks on websites. We're going to blow this thing up. And I just kind of sit here and say, I don't know. If my kid was arrested for shoplifting, my kid would not be seeing a basketball court for quite some time. If I were coaching a team, I do coach, but I only coach up through junior high. The chances of that kid being back on the court anytime soon would be none and none. But in this day and age of, well, we got ratings to get a hold of, and we got to make sure we make the tournament. The fortunate side for UCLA and the cynicism that exists in my profession and even from people that are fans at this point. There's a guy here that I work alongside of down the hall that is big into UCLA. And he came down the hall and we were having a nice discussion. He said, what do you think? And we both looked at each other and we said, they'll be back for the start of conference play. Yeah, that's just how it works. Well, you know, it's just kids being kids. No, shoplifting is not just kids being kids. Enabling and making sure these kids get back out on the court is happening for far too long. And when we have what took place earlier back in October around the U of A and USC and other basketball programs, and people start to come out of the woodwork and say, you know, there is this deep, dark, seedy side to college basketball. We just look the other way. I've had people tell me about, yeah, this guy would be a really good player for us, but he can't stay off the weed. And this is at college games. And these are colleges here within our state. So we just kind of look the other way because we want to make sure these teams get out on the court and they compete. Thus, it starts to turn fans like many of you off from just sports in general. The big business side of sports starts to rub you the wrong way. This is another example. If these guys are back out on the court in a couple of weeks, are you bleeping kidding me? You know, that just shouldn't happen. And there's got to be strong messages sent. Well, who are you to parent? Who are you to say? You know, these are just, we got to win our games. We got to get in the tournament. Our RPI is going to be impacted. We got to get them all on the court. All right. It even goes beyond that. There was a great column written last week by Mark Ziegler. Mark writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune. I've known Mark, or read Mark. I know Mark enough to say, hello, how are you doing, Mark? But I've read him through the years. He wrote a story about how high school basketball has turned into this situation where kids aren't even really appreciating high school basketball any longer. It's all about their club coach. It's all about the club team that they're with. This is a longer rant on this whole story of where basketball is not fixed right at the youth and the high school, even some college level. And so I think that what Mark's point was is kids aren't giving enough credit and attention to the math teacher who might be their basketball coach. Might be their basketball coach in high school, or their driver's ed teacher, whatever it is in high school. Instead, they're just being primped and prompt to head on to the next level to college, then go to the NBA and chase it all, and the chances of that happening are slim and none. And there's some very nice people who try to point that out, and they usually get shouted down. In the club scene, because I'm back in that, I see stuff in the club scene, you just shake your head. There's a junior high player who's going to be the best player to come out of Arizona in quite some time. That hopefully will stay at his school for all 4 years. Because those of you that say Marvin Bagley, he's not Arizona. He's not. He was here and he left. He didn't want to be here anymore. His daddy didn't want him to be here anymore. So he bounced around. So he's not, okay? So right now, Alex Barcelo is the best high school player that has come out here recently. The Howard brothers over at Perry that moved on, they would be close, but one of them went off to Finley Prep. I went yesterday to watch a junior high school basketball game. My son is playing. And I was going to see this eighth grade player who is viewed by many to be the best player to come out in quite some time. Problem is, he's not playing for his junior high school team. He's just already in that space of, I'm going to go play club. And I shouldn't speak for the kid, but he's not playing for his junior high team because there's really not much to get out of it. It's a dark, dingy gym. The court's slippery. The refereeing is okay. The quality of competition is, you know, there is something to be said for putting on your junior high school and high school uniform and getting called out of class early and bumping around on a bus and having the girl wink at you who's a cheerleader. There is something to that that doesn't come through when all you're doing is being in a gym day after day after day because you have people telling your circle that you're going to be the next fill in the blank. And it's unfortunate. It really is. Doesn't matter if the final score is going to be 80-10. It just kind of hit me yesterday when I was out there. I was like, oh, is this kid playing? Nope, he's not playing on his junior high team. Of course he's not. Goody at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports and you're getting ready for the weekend, it's time to get ready for the movies. You need to go on a date. I don't know if Bill has any date movies this week to get into. Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, all around great dude. All around great dude, Bill Goodykoontz. How do you like that as an intro?
You got to find better friends, man.
I saw Charles Dickens' deal last Friday morning, and I know this isn't on your list. You've got to be ready for that. That's you. That's got you written all over it, I do believe. You know the one I'm talking about?
I do. It's called The Man Who Invented Christmas.
Have you seen it yet?
I haven't, and someone else is going to review it, but I have a copy of it.
You need to see it.
And I'll watch it. And here's the thing. I love Charles Dickens, and I love A Christmas Carol. I mean, there are a lot of – Dickens is one of those guys, not quite like Shakespeare, but Dickens invented a lot of phrases and stuff that we use now. Like the first line of A Christmas Carol is that Jacob Marley was dead to begin with. Was dead as a doornail. And I mean, where have you heard that? Where have you heard that? It comes from there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. It was dark.
Did you like it?
Oh, my gosh, Bill. I took my 13-year-old, and he kept looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking he's got to be bored out of his mind because it's dark in some spots. and instead, he came out of there. He's like, he came out of there. And he said, no, that was really good, really interesting. And we talked for 15, 20 minutes about it. And I think he's a reader. And you're very bright. I think you would appreciate that backstory. I don't know if people are going to love it, though. I don't know if people are going to love it.
Well, I think they might go into it thinking it's going to be like a big Christmassy thing. But
no.
Your story reminds me of I have a friend who is a food writer, or his wife is a food writer, and they took their child. And they needed to write about family dining in Las Vegas, so they took like an extra child so they could be a family of four. and he said that they ordered the pork, and they brought the pig to the table. And he realized by the look on the boys' faces that this was not the time to learn the lesson of where food comes from.
That's good. All right, Justice League. Let's just dive right into this. Justice League is the movie. It's got a lot of buzz. What did you think of Justice League? Is this worth seeing, or am I going to need to take a pen and run it through my brain to get through an hour and 45 minutes of some of this usual stuff?
Probably somewhere in between, I would hope. It's better than Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. It's better than Suicide Squad. It's not as good as an Avengers movie, but here's what's happened. Is like those other movies, two things have happened since Batman versus Superman. One is they got slammed for being so dark and, you know, like so overly serious and look how funny the Marvel movies are and all this stuff. So there's a lot of humor in this movie, and that's a good thing. I mean, there is. The other thing that happened was earlier this year they released Wonder Woman, and finally DC had a movie that had humor, that had heart, and had like a really likable, you know, heroine, and that's great. I mean, so what's happened here is there's a lot more humor in it. There's a lot more Wonder Woman in it. There's some rumors that maybe they bumped her up a little bit. She's definitely sort of co-leader of the Justice League now with Batman, which is a good thing. What they didn't do, unfortunately, is have much of a story. And the other thing is the bad guy is just lame. You got to have a decent bad. You have to have somebody to root against if you're going to root for somebody.
Right. Right.
So it just he's just lame, and obviously it's the Justice League. It's sort of the DC version of Avengers. You get the Flash, who's played by Ezra Miller, is a very welcome addition. He's really funny. He's going to get his own movie, and you wonder how long. What he does really well, and this actor in particular does well, is that wow, this is so cool! I can't believe look at there's a bat signal. Doesn't that mean we got to go do something, and stuff like that? He's like, or we're in a cave with bats. It's like a bat cave, and it's good for this movie, but it doesn't have much of a shelf life. So we'll see how that goes. But it's better. It's worth seeing probably. And if you're going to see a movie like this at all, you might as well see it at a theater.
Yeah,
because it's like big and loud and stuff,
but
it's not going to make you, feel like an Avengers movie does.
I gotcha. All right, so let's move from there to Wonder. You talked to the director on this one, according to my notes. How was Wonder?
Wonder was not wonderful, but it's not bad. It's one of those movies that's based on a young adult novel, and I have some young adults in my house, and I've been exposed to a lot of these novels, and they've made for a lot of good movies. The guy that directed this wrote and directed a movie version of his book, Perks of Being a Wallflower, which is one of my favorite movies. I mean, I love that movie, and I love that. But this is not his story. This is somebody else's book. It's about a kid who he's born with, what you would say, like facial differences. Like he's got problems with his face. And he's had 27 surgeries by the time he's 10, but when he gets to be in the fifth grade, his mom decides, we got to mainstream you. You got to go to a regular school. The mom is Julia Roberts. The dad is Owen Wilson. Mm. They live in the most unimaginably cool brownstone in New York, except they never actually say what they do. Every now and then, Owen Wilson goes off to work, but they don't say where. but he has one of those cool dad jobs where he can go off and be rich for a while, but if he needs to hang around the house all day with his kid, he can do that too. But, It's very predictable, and it's supposed to make you cry, and it will if you're a teenage girl. Oh my God, you'll cry all day and all night, and maybe a teenage boy too. But it's not bad. It's just predictable, and there's better versions of stuff like this.
All right, so it's all right. How about Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri? It's a dang long title. Sam Rockwell's part of this. How was that?
Woo-hoo. It's great. It's just great. It's dark as all get out. Did you see In Bruges?
A long time. Barely.
It's the same guy. It's Martin McDonagh, who was a playwright and now has become this like violent comedic filmmaker. This is a very dark movie, but it's very funny. Frances McDormand, and this may be better, the best role she's ever had, even better than Fargo. I mean, this is great. But she plays a woman who a year before her daughter was violently killed in this little town, and they haven't been able to find the killer. And she takes out these three billboards that slam the sheriff in town. And says why no arrests or whatever. And the sheriff is Woody Harrelson. He's very good. And it sets up where you think, oh, he must be incompetent and they're no good, or he's crooked and he can't solve this case. And she's like this, this very sympathetic character. But it's not really like that. She's so cold. She's so consumed by grief that she doesn't care who she offends. Mm. And the sheriff is actually a pretty good guy. He just can't catch a break on the case. And then and he's got his own very serious problems he's dealing with, and she doesn't care. So it kind of turns that on its ear. And then Sam Rockwell, Sam Rockwell is my favorite actor. Now that, rest in peace, Harry Dean Stanton died, Sam Rockwell is my favorite. And he plays this racist sheriff's deputy who's even madder than the sheriff about these billboards. And the acting is just fantastic. This is really good.
Is this wide or is this Camel View? Do you know?
Camel View, but I've got to believe it'll expand.
Because
I think people are really going to want to see this.
Well, I've got you. What would you do if you are the president or athletic director at UCLA with the three basketball players, the Trump helped escape China or whatever. What type of punishment would you give three basketball players arrested for shoplifting in a foreign country and causing a minor international incident?
I think I would say this year you get to be you only get to be the student half of the student athlete equation.
Mm.
You can go to school. You can, you know, we'll keep your scholarship, whatever, you know. But we're not. You're not going to be on the basketball team this year.
Yeah.
Of course, this is an international incident, and Trump has inserted himself into it, and is asking for them to thank him, and you know, just weird stuff like that. That's made it even bigger than it was. But this, I mean, looking at you can't shoplift. You can't. Yeah. You can't steal stuff.
Yeah.
There's an honor code.
Yeah.
And I just feel like athletes, for better or worse, and oftentimes it's worse, but they're held to a different. And I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
I would love to continue the conversation with you, but your phone is crapping out, so I'm going to let you go off. You were great today.
This is a tease.
You moved. You have to read it.
This is a tease.
There's Bill. I'll let Bill go. See you, Bill. Bye. There's Bill Goodykunz, Goody at the Movies. Thing with Bill every week is I don't know if his phone's going to make it. It's just those of you that watch the segment every week, we're just at a point here for like the last month. I don't know if I need to get him a new phone, if I need to nail his feet to the floor. I don't know. Jared, would you like me to nail his feet to the floor? Because everybody just throws their arms up in the air when it comes to that segment. But look, you guys watch this in real time. Stuff happens. Stuff happens, right? That's what it's about. I don't think I'm going to watch much of Suns Rockets tonight. I'm going to watch some of the NFL tonight. I actually think it's not must-see TV, but there'll be some stuff that I'll check out. And it would be nice to watch Paul Goldschmidt win the MVP. That would be nice, too. One other story before we get out of here, and that's Steph Curry. I teased this earlier. So Steph Curry has decided to do something that I think is very smart and forward-thinking for any of you that like basketball. Steph Curry is going into the online education area, serving as an instructor. The story came out today. The two-time MVP is partnering with Masterclass to embark on his first online courses, and he's going to teach in a video component the fundamentals of what makes him one of the most skilled creative players in the NBA. I mean, you know, you think about this, and it's very forward-thinking, because I would have my son or my daughters watch Steph Curry. Curry is the company's first basketball player. And you're wondering, okay, he's got to be charging hundreds of thousands of dollars to this. But he's not. It's $99. Where is that? $99 is what I saw. And it's Q&A. The enrollment fee is $90 for individual class. $180 for a year of unlimited access. So this is not one of those deals where it's $90 a month to have access for Steph Curry. $90, $180 for a year, and you can go give it as a gift card for a kid. I don't usually sell stuff like this. I'm just talking it up. But I don't know, if you're interested in trying to help your kid out or just yourself in watching basketball, it's very forward thinking on Steph Curry's part. It's good stuff. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We are self-funded. We appreciate all of our partners who are with us day in and day out. We saw a new partner jump on board today in Valle Luna. We appreciate their support, Bill and Janie Riddle. And this is what we do. Without your support, we are self-funded. Without your support, we don't do this. And we are appreciative to have new partners come on board. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Justin Toscano getting things done today. He screwed up a little bit, but not too much. And I screw up every day I open a microphone. That's the beauty of this. Check out all of our content over on our website at sports360az.com. We'll see you later. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.